Welcome to this session. It's the Hour of Justice. I'm going to be joined by two distinguished guests, Vera Shirov, who joined us in the previous Nuremberg session, Nuremberg Codex, but also joining us as well is lawyer Rainer Fulmich is going to be joining us as well. Just to introduce our two panelists for this discussion, we'll be talking about legal, constitutional, and justice issues. Vera was introduced previously, and Rainer Fulmich is an attorney. He is a member of the bar in Germany and also in the state of California, and has many years' experience in the area of consumer protection. He has also served at the University of Göttingen as an assistant to Professor Deutsch in the Research Center for Medical and Pharmaceutical Law, and a member of the Ethics Committee of University Hospitals of Göttingen and Hanover as well. He's also a co-chair of the Extra-Parliamentary Committee of Inquiry into the Impact of Governmental Corona Measures, or the Corona Committee, as it's widely known. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get your comments after I give an opening statement on this issue. And so what we have witnessed over the last year and a half is nothing short of incredible. I think we can all agree on that. Communities, societies, nations, and the entire global economy has been brought to heel, but not by a virus, but by extreme government policy interventions, government policies, to be short. These interventions have had a devastating impact and will reverberate for a generation at least. And governments have largely done this through not the normal democratic process, and in some cases, not even declaring a state of emergency, but rather, as in Australia, a state of alarm, in bypassing even the state of emergency, normal democratic protocols that normally has a high bar for proving the state of emergency. They've done managed to do a runaround of the democratic process in many different countries by declaring a coronavirus emergency with rollover legislation and effectively by bureaucratic fiat. An undeclared war has been waged. And in this case, the burden of proof, which normally should be on the state or the governments to justify these policies to the people, this seems to have been reversed over the last 18 months. And officials are deferring to very opaque scientific communities, unelected scientific advisory communities, passing the buck, you might say, when it's convenient, but taking these policy recommendations on lockdowns, quarantines, social distancing, masks, mandatory vaccinations, mass vaccination rollouts, throttling the healthcare system in order to make room for a pandemic that in ostensibly did not arrive in these healthcare systems, to save the healthcare system or to stop the spread of the virus, to protect the vulnerable. You're all familiar with all of these terms that have been used to great effect over the last year and a half. So this undercuts one of the fundamental pillars of democracy and constitutional republics, which is protecting the right of the individual. We're told that that is to be put aside and people must comply for the good of the collective. So again, this runs contrary to the fundamental principles of modern nation states and democracies. So this is the scale of the crisis, the challenge that we're facing. We see three main legal battleground landscapes, which you might elaborate and go into more detail on, Rainer, as we go to you first: domestic law, constitutional law, international law, which Vera commented on in the previous Nuremberg session, international law and treaties, and tort law in relation to medical malpractice, personal injury in relation to liabilities of the pharmaceutical companies, government agencies, regulatory agencies, et cetera. Rainer, I want to get your comment on, we have about 6 minutes, I want to get the thrust of your organization and what you think the legal battlefield is. And what battles do you think have the best chance of success in this pressing hour that we find ourselves in?
Yeah, this is, we have come to the conclusion, by we I mean the members of the Berlin Corona Investigative Committee, we have come to the conclusion that this is not and never has been about health. Rather, they're using this pandemic, this so-called pandemic, which is not a corona pandemic, it's a PCR test pandemic. It was invented by one of their puppets, Professor Dr. Drosten, who is neither a real professor nor has he actually written a doctoral dissertation. There are serious doubts as far as his biography is concerned. Well, it has never been about health, but we have come to the conclusion that this is about the side effects, which are not side effects, but which are the intended effects of these anti-corona measures. And what this boils down to is they're trying to destroy the economy, the small and medium-sized businesses, which whose market share is then usurped by large U.S. platforms like Amazon. And here in Germany, we're also seeing that they're trying to divide the spoils on a very large scale. One of our biggest industries, if not the biggest, is the automotive industry. And that is being taken over by the Chinese currently. So what is the most important legal issue? In my view, I didn't start out looking at the legal spectrum here. When Viviana and I set up this Corona Investigative Committee, it was we did it because we realized that we would never get any answers from our government, which, as it turns out, isn't our government anymore, but it has been taken over. It's a sort of a hostile takeover through these private-public partnerships, which have never been partnerships, but like I said, it's a hostile takeover by these huge global corporations and the global NGOs, which have more or less taken over our governments, not just the German one. So what is the most pressing legal issue? From what we gathered through interviewing over 110 experts from all over the world, including former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Catherine Austin Fitz, including a former vice president of Pfizer, Dr. Mike Yeadon, including a Nobel Prize laureate, Professor Luc Montagnier. What we now know is this is only based on a not functioning PCR test. There was an accident at this infamous Wuhan Institute of Virology, or it was staged, but it wasn't, in our view at least, it wasn't the reason, it wasn't the cause for this pandemic. Rather, they used it as a springboard in order to roll out the agenda that they'd been working on for over 10 years, maybe for much longer, but we can see that it's been going on for 10 years. The final dress rehearsal was probably the event 201, which is really event 21, because the O in the middle is symbolizing Earth. So that is what we think is the most important thing to attack, and that is the foundation of this whole thing, and that's the PCR test. We have to prove in the courts of law that there have never been these hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions of cases, but rather they were produced through the what we now call the Drosten PCR test, which was recommended by the WHO to the entire world as a gold standard for detecting infections. We now know it cannot detect infections no matter what you do. And we also know that the way his Drosten test was set up, it was bound to produce 100% false positives. So that's what we're trying to attack in the courts of law. By we, I mean my colleagues in all these in most countries. We have now three decisions by three courts of law: a Portuguese decision, an Austrian decision, and a German decision, which all state that PCR tests cannot tell you anything about infections, and therefore they cannot be the foundation or the basis for any of these measures. We're going to need some more decisions. some big ones. A huge case is going to be filed in South Africa. The Indians are doing excellent work. And I'm pretty sure that it's only a matter of time when one of the big cases is going to be filed in the United States. Another one is pending in Canada right now. So that's what we should focus on.
Very good. Thank you very much, Reiner. And I want to go to Vera on this. Now, Vera, you've got an extensive background in this area, liaising with the FDA. You've also participated in a number of academic forums regarding science and so forth, advisory panels. Where in the United States does this issue sit from a legal standpoint? I know that you have federal and then you have state law, so you have two different battlegrounds to fight on. What are your feelings on this from a constitutional or a legal challenge point of view?
Yeah. As you said, most of the cases are going on in state courts because we do have a divided country, and it's pretty much down the middle. It is a very, very difficult battle because really the United States was the leader in this. The United States financed the research that was not allowed by international law. Gain of function is biological warfare. Why in the world have we been engaging in so much of that, all government funded, in many, many laboratories? It's a wonder that what happened in Wuhan didn't happen in other places. Well, there were accidents in very many laboratories, which is why for a while under Obama it was suspended. I know that there are quite a few lawsuits being worked on that are imminent to be filed. I also know that they are quite desperate right now because there's a pileup. The bodies of vaccinated people is rising every single minute. So while at first, not long ago, it was Biden actually who said, no, there won't be any mandates. Now suddenly we see that all federal employees and contractors, that's the latest, will have to be vaccinated. Why do they have to force people? Obviously, they've got to get rid of the inventory. On the issue of PCR, Reiner, by the way, the CDC, you might want to look at the documents that they just issued. And it's kind of interesting. They are withdrawing the emergency use of the PCR in December. Why the lag? Again, they're still using them. The business must go on first and foremost. I can't, I'm definitely not an expert on legal matters, just how to use certain things. But unfortunately, the government agencies and at all levels, I mean, it is so totally corrupted. I mean, from my perspective, this is not something I can prove, but that's my hunch. I think that the uniformity that has gone on throughout the world, there are just changes in the nuance and maybe the color scheme, but really everyone is reading from the same script and issuing the same kind of directives and decrees. It tells me that there is a script that they've been given, orders that they've been given. Now, how did that happen? Well, since this is, in fact, the most profitable, cash cow that ever was, they most likely have bribed every leader, and at the same time probably also used the nice mafia tactic, which is to threaten. You use the two, and we know at least four heads of state who didn't go along with the scheme are no longer with us. that's kind of a reminder, too, that, yeah, assassinations do happen. We're really, I mean, I have said this several times. We are at a point now that it's either human civilization survives or it's over. And for most of us, it would be over. By age, I'm a useless eater, right? I mean, we each are not considered Übermensch. We're not considered as proper genetically made up to be in the elite. These people are monsters. They are true. They're evil. The way for 70 years, whatever, I mean, it was Mengele was as if he was the only barbarian, the only. No, he was not the only one. We're dealing now with real psychopaths who absolutely believe that they are superior and that they can run the world better than nature or God. They see themselves as replacing God. Well, I have news for them. I have a heroine I discovered, not a hero, a heroine. And I only discovered this about a year or two ago. And you know what it is? It's Eve. Eve disobeyed even God to give us knowledge. I'm for that. So, you know, I weep for the people who have been somehow so traumatized, and I can't understand quite what kind of poison has been gone into their brain that they give up thinking, making decisions. I mean, I disobeyed authority when I was nothing. I was 6 and a half. I stood my ground, and it saved my life. That came back to me during this COVID thing. I hadn't thought about that, and, you know. But where is that? And the United States, you know, Yankees, used to be so full of themselves, right? Me do it myself. We know better. We don't have to listen to Europe. This was very much the ethos. New Yorkers, for sure. I mean, international, we don't know anything. And now everybody just like sheep. And when they tell them again, oh, the New York Times has 5 stories a day telling you how the variant is killing people all over the place. At the same time, though, CDC acknowledged that the PCR is saying that the vaccinated are infected. So that's why they want to pull it. It's all lies. And the thing about it, because there isn't a real pushback, they keep pushing the envelope. So it winds up being that most people who go along to get along are the facilitators. They're making it easy for them. You know, there were people who used to kind of despair, used to say, why did the Jews just go to the gas chambers? Why didn't they rebel? Well, first of all, there were lots of rebellions where it was possible. But hey, you know, Jews like everybody else, you know, they can be brought in as a flock. And when you're in a state of fear, and there was definitely a real reason to be in a state of fear, you really were, you know, the target. And you had nothing, because by then it was too late. They couldn't escape anymore. But here we do have means still. In the United States, and I think in Western Europe, you still have means. But people are, well, there is in the United States, I think, a big silent majority. There always has been a silent majority. They don't talk politics, so they obviously are not relating to this. And part of the tactic that was done here is to isolate, separate, and make people suspicious of other people. I mean, that's what the masks are about, is so that you do not interact too closely. You do not talk. You do not compare notes. You do not give each other your opinion. By doing that, you're creating a hostile atmosphere, a human hostile atmosphere, and it obviously has nothing to do with the virus.
I want to get to Reiner, your comment on a related issue. Veer was talking about standing up for your rights. You have to be the one to take responsibility to exercise your rights. Now, as a lawyer, I think probably Reiner, you can attest to there are corruption in the courts, and that's not isolated to any one country. There are institutional and establishment aligned interests in the legal system, in the courts. And so are we at a situation now in this crisis whereby is there a remedy? Is that where people should be expecting the remedy, or should people be in a more of a non-compliance mode or exercising their rights? They're in America, their free speech, their First Amendment, for instance, their 14th Amendment. In Europe and in Germany, I'm sure you have similar constitutional provisions that people are just not thinking about exercising right now. What are your thoughts on this kind of spectrum?
This whole thing is playing out on, in my view, on three different levels. One is the legal level. The other one is what we're doing right now. We're trying to get the truth out into the open to expose what's going on and what has been going on for decades, probably hundreds of years, but at least since World War II. And the third level is something that I keep telling people, if somebody had told me this a year and a half ago, I would have said, take your pills and you'll get better. It's the spiritual level or religious level or gut instinct or whatever you want to call it. It's something that the other side has absolutely no access to because they have no emotions and they have no empathy. That's, I think, what's going to be crucial. Mm-hmm. But we have to play this game on all three levels. We have to keep going to court. I know that's right from the start. I realized from experience, because my firm and I, we've been representing consumers and small and medium-sized businesses against large, usually fraudulent corporations like VW, Deutsche Bank, and others. And I knew right from the start, over the past 15 years, we've been wondering what's going on in the courts of law. Right from the start, I knew Germany is not a good place to sue these monsters. But there are exceptions to the rule. I mean, this system, the judiciary and the rest of the system is totally corrupt, in particular, the judiciary. But there are exceptions to that rule. That's why I just mentioned that one of the courts here in Germany, in Weimar, which is the home of Schiller and Goethe, there is a judge, there's actually two judges. One of them found all of these measures to be totally and absolutely unconstitutional. And the other one is the one who when he was approached by a single mother of a couple of children who thought that her children were being tortured at school by way of these anti-corona measures, the mask mandates, the social distancing, et cetera, because they couldn't sleep. They had stomach aches. They were being mobbed by their own teachers. So he said, well, I can't be the judge of this because I'm not an expert, but I do have experts at my disposal. So he got three renowned professors. One of them is a child psychology professor. The other one is my friend, Professor Ulrike Kemmerer, who is an expert on PCR tests. And then there's another expert professor who knows everything about masks. They're totally useless and they're extremely dangerous. And based on their testimony, ultimately came to the conclusion that these measures are dangerous, and therefore he said, you cannot do this. School, you cannot do this. He just did his job. 3 or 4 weeks later, his office, his home, and his car were searched. His phone, his cell phone, and his computer were seized by, obviously, a politically motivated DA. I helped him get a very competent criminal defense attorney, very experienced. So he's in good shape now. But that tells you how corrupt the system is in the meantime. That's why right from the outset, I thought, well, this is not going to suffice. We're going to try and do our best in this country. But we do need alliances. We need colleagues from all over the world, in particular the Anglo-American countries, because they have two major advantages over all of the other legal systems. One is you have a functioning law of evidence, which includes pretrial discovery. We don't have that. And you have this powerful tool of class actions. And that's why right from the start, I decided sooner or later, we're going to have to file one of these class actions, if possible, more than just one, and make it into an international class action. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. That's what's been happening. And it's going to continue to happen. Ultimately, I think we will probably have to set, because this is so monstrous. I mean, this is not just crimes against humanity. This is evolving into crimes against creation itself. So this is so monstrous that we're probably going to have to set up an international corona tribunal in some extraterritorial place. We're looking at several places right now. We're going to have to find the right judges and prosecutors. But ultimately, I think that's what it's going to take. Still, the real judgment will not come from the courts of law. As I said, I'm not a religious person, but I do think, and I'm absolutely 100% certain, there is going to be a really, really great reckoning, which has been overdue for probably hundreds of years, but now it's coming. There's no escaping.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Reiner. And we just got 2 minutes left, and I want to get Vera's view on this. Vera, the international law front, you were speaking about the Nuremberg principles in the previous session. Where do you think international law stands? Is it more of a symbolic? Now, is it too far in the rearview mirror of history? Does it have the teeth maybe that it had years ago? Has the international system gone completely off the edge, as it were, to really be able to enact and use those types of principles to get accountability? Just quickly, your thoughts, your final thoughts on that issue.
Well, I think that it definitely can be dusted off. It is in effect. It just hasn't been used often enough. And I think Reiner probably will be using it along with other documents. But it absolutely applies in this. And the reason we've gotten so far afield, so far afoul, is precisely because it wasn't followed. I mean, those are basic. It's just like Ten Commandments kind of, principles. They got in the way of the power thirsty and the absolute corrupt. And yes, religion is very much, I've thought about religion recently too, that there is this godlessness to these monsters, that they do not really, they are not human. They do not honor and they do not have human feelings. That's why they are only focused on using technology and transforming humans into composite technologies.
Mm. Yeah, that's a very good departure point for an even more deep discussion regarding that issue. And I say the words transhumanism, that's in the World Economic Forum, it's in Klaus Schwab's book, these types of principles are articulated. So
it's all laid out.
Yeah.
It's all laid out. They don't have to listen to me or to Reiner. They can read what's planned. I mean, if you read The Great Reset, it's a horror. At first you think it's science fiction, but no, they're serious. They're dead serious.
Yeah, and remind people that the term transhumanism was an outgrowth of the old eugenics movement. That's a historical fact. But listen, we're going to have to wrap this session up, but I want to thank our guests, Vera Shirov and also Reiner Fulmich for joining us in the Hour of Justice. I really appreciate your contributions. It's been a great discussion. Hopefully, it will prompt further debate and discussion on these issues.
Thank you so much.
We should all wish each other luck.
Yeah. We have a great team here. We have a perfect team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to go to the next session, so stay tuned. We'll be breaking shortly, and we'll be going to, I believe, the final panel discussion on all of the topics led by Suhart Bhakti in just a moment. Thank you.